Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Malco Radio Show!
Hey folks, it's time for the show!
Welcome!
Now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fix the Family, Fix America is on the air again. That would have been so much better if this would have worked when I needed it to. If I would have been talking and saying on the air again when the applause happened, it would have been cooler. Again, I am your host, Jack Hatfield, for your next couple of hours of edutainment. That is everything that you hear in the stratosphere out there in media land, given to you in the perspective that's going to affect your family and your sanity. Very important, because we have got to make this planet correct, because Earth Day is right around the corner. I know that's the holiday everyone's thinking about coming up real soon, right? That's the one that all the stores have the eggs hanging. I guess it's the egg is the symbol of Earth Day, and like the globe is kind of not round, but oblong is what they're trying to say, because It's decorated too. It's pretty. The eggs are pretty, and I guess that means it's time to make sure that all the chickens are okay on Earth Day. And wait a minute. Someone's been tricking me. It starts with an E, but it's not Earth Day. Oh, well, we'll get into some of that. Actually, we probably won't get into any of that. That'll be the last time I mention it, actually. That was enough press for that. There's, as you probably watch every single channel turn, every single logo for every single channel turn green as they talk about how much mercury they're putting in the water that they tell you not to eat because you're pregnant, all kind of stuff. Goodness gracious. Anyway, this is the place to get the real scoop, and this must be the place everyone gets the scoops, because after we talk about it tomorrow and Thursday and Friday, big old outlets of people that you would think have been in the business for a while apparently don't look for news anymore and don't do their own thinking, so they just copy what I say and put it up in a big article and go, look at what I did, look at that. It's all me. Wasn't nothing to do with Jack Hatfield at Fix the Family, Fix America. That is a Coca-Cola-like product called Hansen's, right? Isn't that it? Hansen's? Yes, Hansen's is the one beverage that I have found out there. It's still using sugar, cane sugar. And for those of you who listen to this show on a regular basis for the last year, let's bring this up real quick. We told you, I don't know, 8, 10, 12, 100 months ago be on the lookout for the high fructose corn syrup people and what they're trying to do, because they're going to say this tagline: cane sugar, corn sugar, it's all the same. I don't think she said it exactly like that on the commercial, but by goodness, it's on the TV now. Looky there. It's on the box. The squawk box is what they used to call it. Corn sugar, cane sugar, it's all the same. They ought to get Bon Jovi to sing the theme song. It's all the same. Only the corn, the cane. Oh. Everything. It's all sweet in your old coffee. Something like that. I'm supposed to do some official stuff here. Hang on. To put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order, and that's why you're here. And also, to put your family in order, you must first cultivate and succeed in your own personal life. I have met some really cool people in the last week and a half. People that are you wouldn't think, that are trying to do their part and help make other people around them better, and success coaches and entrepreneurs, and just amazing, amazing stuff. And I can't wait to help them along their journey and get them to where they can succeed. Just today, met another guy, broke away from where he was working to start his own practice. And wow, it's just been fun to watch people just sit back and go, you know what, I only got one that I know of shot at this, so I'm going to go with it. Woke up with my daughter just this morning, and I said, sweetheart, here's what I want you to do today. I want you to do something amazing. I said, because when you wake up, your first thought should be, I'm going to do something amazing today. And I know I did something amazing. I created a brand new logo for this girl. She's trying to start a fundraising segment of her quest to become Miss America. And I have assisted her in her quest to move up the ranks of, she sings, she won Miss City. Now she's going for Miss State, and then soon she'll be going for Miss America, if she gets that far. And I'm helping her, and I created a logo for that attempt, and maybe we'll get her on here on the radio show and talk about that segment of her life that she's going through right now, and help her out a little bit, because I love watching people succeed. And, of course, at the top of the hour, we've got Adele's Magnificent Minute, the Magic Minute. Adele Omani's Magic Minute, bringing the class and awesomeness to this show that I slowly tear away piece by piece as I speak. And and we talk about all stuff. So, that Earth Day, Easter is coming up. So that's interesting, and we'll talk about that. And we're going to talk about brought up an article that I brought up 3 weeks ago. It's amazing, where I said the person's happiest life periods are at the beginning and the end, but the middle kind of sucks. So we're going to talk about that. And I already said it, but we're going to talk about why someone else is writing about it after I said it. And then we're going to have the oldest man, world's oldest man, died at the age of 114. May he rest in peace. And he gave some... Excuse me. Pardon me. Had all kinds of lung and ate about 900 pounds of spaghetti tonight because... prior to this show, I carb loaded to get ready for you guys. I didn't eat any lunch, so I was very hungry, and so I did carb load just for you. And anyway, back to the 114-year-old man. He gave some life tips. And we'll hear what those are so that you can go for your 114. Excuse me, I have no cough button. So what I'll do is I'll boo me. much better. Had some libation. And then there's an article that I want to talk about, and it talks about how your family gets together at Easter or any other holiday. And it also then it goes into why people hate it. Okay? We're going to talk about that. Why does people hate holidays? And then the New York Department of Health is looking out for you and your children by putting lists together that would of any activity that would pose a significant risk of injury. So that's going to help you, parents. We're going to talk about some heathens that hurls a brick in a four-year-old's face. That's pretty bad. And then, because we talk about the sun exposure so much on this show, another resistance to our comments have come out, and now it says that there's possible that just being in the sun gives you something else. What could it be? We already know it causes skin cancer. And then going back to Easter, we're going to talk about the best and worst Easter treats. Well, you know what the best is? It's grass-fed beef. But that don't come in an egg-shaped container, I don't think. And then there's an article on healthy junk food. People. Almost all food is healthy in certain quantities. So why would we have this article? We're going to go into it because you know why they put it out. Because Easter's coming, and you go feast, and la, la, la. And then, which country is saying no more coloring? It's not here. That's just a hint. Then we're going to find out how you can live forever. That's right. The secret of living forever. And then, everyone's heard of that olive oil Mediterranean diet. Is it kind of not true? Could that be possible? All that and more right here on Fix the Family, Fix America. I'm glad you people are here to listen to it with me. So, first thing to talk about, what could it be? What could it be? Easter's around the corner. Let's talk about what the article is about the best Easter snacks. Best and worst Easter treats, ladies and gentlemen. All right? You know what they say the best is? What is the one thing everyone says, I eat only at Christmas? Christmas. Oh, my Lord. I eat only at Easter. Everyone says, there it is, the iconic candy, the Cadbury cream egg, right? Is it on the good list or the bad list? What do y'all think? Oh, wait. I forgot to mention a little segment. By becoming a follower, before we get back to the Cadbury cream egg, best or worst, I can hear most of you right now. I can hear you exactly what you're thinking. I don't care which one it's on. I'm going to eat it anyway. Which is good. That's a great attitude to have. On Facebook, when you follow us, the show, Anyway, we posted a riddle, and we're going to try to do that on a more regular basis. And the riddle was, should I have called the police? Okay. And I asked, should I have called the police? Let me tell you how it went, and then I'll tell you the answer later on. Wait, first let me type in here, answer to be revealed in Fix the Family. This is live Facebooking right here, ladies and gentlemen. Fix the Family, Fix America. Wait a minute. On Fix Family, Fix Man radio show on Blog Talk Radio, because that's what we're all listening on. Jack Hatfield. Got it? Do we all got it? How come the thing didn't do the thing? Oh, well. Anyway, live blogging right here. Done. All right, anyway, the riddle goes like this. Then we'll get back to your Cadbury cream egg. I know some of you are eating a Cadbury cream egg right now going, oh, I wonder if it's good or bad. I saw a woman on a bridge today. She was screaming, tears in her eyes, angry. Screaming, she said, this is quote, "You monster of cruelty. I've stayed with you too long. You've hurt the very foundations of my being. I've endured your tortures day after day. The first time we met, your ease and polish attracted me to you, and when you were mine, my friends were jealous. But now, take a look at what I've suffered for your sake. You keep me from advancing myself. My standing in society has been ruined by you. Ruined! If we've never met, I might have walked in peace, but now we must part forever." She then threw something in the water. Should I have called the police? That's the riddle on Facebook. Feel free to go there. Facebook.com/TheJackHatfield. Friend me up and put your response and listen for the answer to this riddle later on. Thank you. Thank you. All right, back to Easter. Easter treat, Cadbury cream egg. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's on the good list. What? That's right. Because it's all cream. And remember, the media thinks fat is bad. All that cream inside, guess what that is? It's just sugar. Cane sugar, corn sugar. Don't make no difference. Let me, I don't know the ingredients of the Cadbury cream egg, so let me find this out here real quick. This is live research right here. Cadbury cream egg ingredients. So let's see. What's in the Cadbury cream egg? Do-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All right, milk chocolate. That's on the outside. We all know that. Then sugar. Then glucose syrup. Not high fructose corn syrup? I mean corn sugar? Some dried egg white. Some calcium chloride, you always need that. Some flavoring, some color. And it may contain peanuts. And even though it's not an ingredient, they make it on something that peanuts could float into. So, release the goo, ladies and gentlemen. The Cadbury cream egg to the media is good stuff. Okay? But let me tell you what's in it. The 150 calories, only 5 grams of fat, and 22 grams of sugar. That is a teaspoon and a half of sugar, almost. No. Yeah, it is. So, one egg, teaspoon and a half of sugar, 5 grams of fat, not a big deal. 75 eggs, big deal. Right? The reason it makes the list is because they don't think sugar's that bad. A single wrap portion is so sweet, though, that not many people can eat one or two. I mean, three or four. Not many people. Not saying it's impossible. Now, the worst, ladies and gentlemen, which is wrong. This is wrong. The Reese's peanut butter egg. They're both eggs, though. Cadbury cream egg and the peanut butter egg. The peanut butter egg comes in an individually wrapped portion, but they say it has double the fat. I say it has half the sugar. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Reese's peanut butter egg, according to the media, is the worst because it has half the sugar of the Cadbury cream egg but twice the fat. But again, this fat is from peanuts. Okay? Reese's peanut butter egg ingredients. Let's get this down to a science here. Da 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 do dee da dee da da. I'm trying to find the ingredients. Not an easy thing to do, apparently. Very strange. All right, here we go. Peanuts, sugar, dextrose, vegetable oil of this variety, cocoa butter, palm, shea, sunflower, safflower. Notice there are no engineered oils in this product. Chocolate, non-fat milk, salt, whey. Ooh, this is probably another thing they don't like. Partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, and I don't like it either. And then corn syrup, corn starch, and then TBHQ, which is carcinogen, and PGPR, another one, that's bad, and vanillin. So, if it was simply some peanuts on some chocolate, it would be the best, but now that we found the ingredients, not good at all. But again, that is an untrustworthy ingredient list. I'm going to try to find another ingredient list straight from Reese's. Here we go. Calories in Reese's peanut butter eggs. Not calories, ingredients. I cannot find. 1 piece of Reese's peanut butter egg is 90 calories, 5 grams of fat. What are they talking about? All right, forget it. If it's got all that other stuff in it from that unknown source, then yes, put it on the bad list. If it has simply peanuts and chocolate, it needs to be on the best list and not the teaspoon and a half of sugar on the Cadbury cream egg. Another thing on the good list, reason being fat, no fat, is Peeps. Everyone knows Peeps. Peeps. 5 of those little guys are 140 calories. Ladies and gentlemen, 5. But you also get 2 and a half teaspoons of sugar. So, they come in a sugar-free version, by the way, and you don't want that at all. Because chemical sweeteners are crap. Did I say that? I just bit my tongue. Did I say that out loud? How do you bite your tongue when you're not eating? Another one worst is Whoppers Robin Eggs. Everybody remembers Whoppers, that crunchy malt candy. Oh, so good stuff. Eight Robin Eggs has 6 grams of fat, 5 and 29 grams of sugar. Wow. Jelly Bellies, Jelly Bean, nothing but sugar. Of course, it was on the best list, by the way. And then the Chocolate Bunny. Guess where it is? Because it's got a lot of blah. In fact, they call this the mother load of bad Easter treats because they put it all together. If you ate the whole bunny, 690 calories, 72 grams of sugar, 42 grams of fat. That is an awful lot. I ain't lying. That's like a Big Mac. It's actually more like a Whopper, I do believe. But how many people eat 9 Easter bunnies a year? And again, I got a treat for you that no one's thinking of. Hard-boiled Easter eggs. God, sulfur for your liver, protein, fat, cholesterol, all stuff your body needs. You know how much sugar's in that? None. So eat a hard-boiled egg, grab you a Cadbury cream egg, they offset each other and there'll be no problems. Happy Easter. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Now, we're going to talk about an article in a minute that talks about families. And what are we called? Fix the Family, Fix America. But holidays and getting together with family is supposed to be a special time. Why in the world is there an article called Why Holidays Can Be Hell for Families? Why don't they just write, why is every day hell for families? Because what's the difference? Other than you do something slightly different, you have a bigger meal, you treat it as special. I don't know about you people, but every day in my house is an Easter feast when we eat. Every day is a feast of some sort. We make it an elaborate project, even if it's simply like today, spaghetti. We call it, guess what we're having? Spaghetti Day! With an incredible new sauce, because we never make the same sauce, and it's just incredible. We do the bread a little different, give it a little pizzazz, give it a little not pizzazz, whatever. It doesn't. We just change it. We make every single meal a feast. A feast! Now, with Easter coming up, This article says most parents dread the thought of their sons and daughters moping about the house, complaining of being bored. You understand that? They're saying you parents, you smart listeners of this show, and you are some of the smartest listeners of any radio show because you are listening to this one. It says that you dread the thought of your children moping around the house, complaining of being bored. When you have your children at home on any other given day, do they complain about being bored? If they do, we need to talk about what's going on at your house. All right? It goes on to write. Get long holiday off for this Easter, about 3 weeks. A mother is having to work nights and have her partner to look after, take 3 weeks off of work, look after her daughter so she can sleep. Now, the royal over there in England, there is also an add-on to this Easter. It's the royal wedding bank holiday. So they're having an even longer week. Okay? So it says families are likely to spend money just to keep children busy with things to do over Easter. Oh, my. What? No one's concerned about how they're going to afford the extra costs. In fact, they did a quick survey of 2,000 adults. And they said, are you worried about how much it's going to cost to keep your children from being bored? Or are you just worried about keeping your children entertained? And it went like this. 1 in 10, that's 10%, were concerned about how they were going to afford the extra cost. And 12% were worried about how they were going to keep their children entertained. One parent says, all parents know days out aren't cheap, especially once you add travel costs, food and drink to the entrance fee for many attractions. Well, it sounds like a vacation to me. Why is it hell for families to go on a vacation for Easter? Another mother gets upset at the amount of homework was sent home with her child because they were given folders full of work to stop from falling behind over the Easter break. She's mad about that. Oh, I want my child to fall a little behind over this Easter break, so don't give her homework. Oh, goodness. She says, and I quote, the amount of homework he's brought back is totally ridiculous. Not only does he have reading, spelling, and timetable, he has to write stories and complete a geography project on something he's not even been taught yet. What? Free, having to do logical and free thought while you're on Easter break? Get this statement here, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the mother of the week. Here's her statement. After she just said that inane statement that I just wrote you, she added this. It's as if the school is expecting the parents to do the job of teachers just because of the way the bank holidays have fallen this year. It's unreasonable, particularly for families who want to go away over Easter. Why should we be doing the job of teachers when they get to have the time off? This is a mother saying this about her child's homework. Because you have to do the job of the teachers. When they're just willy-nilly off of school, and teachers don't have to check that stuff when they come back to work, lady. No. And they just give that to your son or daughter just to make you mad, of course, not to help your son or daughter. First of all, Mom, you need to get into my Make a Difference mothering class. That's because we do it here on Fix the Family, Fix America with four parts plus one. Positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. The plus one is disease and the diet. That's why we always talk about food and diseases and all kind of other stuff. That's why we just spoke about Cadbury cream eggs. But this lady obviously has not listened to this show or doing anything as a Make a Difference mom, because she's very upset that she will have to do the job of the teacher. Meaning she has said, I am doing no teaching to my child. She's making a difference, all right. She's making a dumb difference. She's making a difference in her child's life by her child going, you know, you never gave me anything. You never taught me anything. Now, guess who's on her side? Family pressure group, Parents Out Loud. I never heard of them either. But they're on her side because Margaret Morrissey of Parents Out Loud, P-O-L. Insist young children need a break from the grind of studying. It's a major issue if schools are giving children so much work they're effectively expecting the same lesson to carry on over Easter at home with the parents doing the work for the teachers. Now, is that a group that's helping families? She goes on, Miss Morrissey does, of Parents Out, P-O-L. It causes tremendous pressure on children and defeats the object of having a break from school. This is a particular problem this year. We seem to have a national obsession with having children sitting and learning every single day of the year. I continue with her quote. It just isn't necessary. Children need a rest. Some parents also worry about the impact of the long break on teenagers studying for their SATs or whatever. Away from the structure of lessons, some teenagers might struggle to knuckle down to vital revision. What? If Parents Out Loud is telling you that you don't have to do the job of the teacher, do you think Parents Out Loud is helping families? Anyone? Parents Out Loud, ladies and gentlemen. Agreeing with the mom that's not making a difference in her child's life. Saying, I don't want to do the job of the teacher. I don't want to be punished with this homework. Parents Out Loud. Parents Out Loud says they're a team of parents with children of all age groups, from babies to teenagers. The team is currently spread geographically across over England, but they hope to cover the world. Margaret Morrissey is the grandmother with 39 years of experience being a mother and 12 years a grandmother. She's been a PTA member. Okay? So she's out there saying, why, teachers, are you making the parents do the job of you? Here's why Parents Out Loud says they exist. It is important there are channels for parents to hear what government does in their name to give their views on issues affecting their child's school, education, and education funding. On almost a daily basis, the government tells parents how to rear their children, but then blame parents if all turns out not to be well. What? If they never receive feedback, then they cannot be blamed for not listening to us. Parents often feel isolated and think their child is different, not developing well, or too quickly. We will help anyone in this position to seek information from others and realize things are just as normal and many others have the same worry. Hopefully we'll in time be able to have contact with local authorities, another major issue for parents who go around in circles before getting the right person. Let's hope we can change this. Their grammar and grammatical issues on their side is not very good. Their values and perspective are to inform and support with sensible debate, to accept we may not all agree, to respect each other's views, to value the work our teachers do, to value the work the Department of Children's Schools and Families and local authorities do, to help all those agencies value the work of parents and truly accept them as partners to be spoken to, not at, to listen to other points of view and hope others will respect ours. It sounds all happy, touchy-feely, but if you say stuff like the parents doing the job of the teacher and they shouldn't have to do that, anything, you're simply helping out the Department of Education or Children's Schools and Families and local authorities. So I'd like to know why anyone, any family member, any mom, any dad, with Easter or any holiday, any holiday, Earth Day. You got a big Earth Day coming up, and you know you got your plan, I don't know, what do you plan for Earth Day? What do they say? Oh yeah, you're supposed to turn off your lights or something, or plant a tree. I don't know how you celebrate Earth Day. Do you burn a plastic bag? Is that what you do? You know the people, here's why I'm making fun of this, and I can hear everyone out there now, well, not my audience, but the new listeners possibly. They're going, listen to this guy, he's making fun of Earth Day. I'm not making fun of Earth Day. I'm making fun of the fact that they even have to be an Earth Day. You want to know the people that respect the earth all the time and why that lost art is a problem? Farmers. Because when you're on a farm and your child goes to work on a farm, they learn that that's the soil is what gives them their food. And to feed the animals to help them get more food. And you don't throw anything away. You take the poop from the chicken tent, you take the poop from the horse farm, take the poop from the cow pasture, and you start spreading that over the stuff that you're going to eat later. That's Earth Day every day. You don't waste nothing. You respect the earth. You know that it gives you what you need. It gives your food the vital vitamins and minerals that you need, so you don't want to treat it unkindly. That's Earth Day every day. That's a farmer. Send your kids to a farmhand and tell them to work there for the summer. They'll respect the earth way more than any Earth Day, turn off light, burn a plastic bag, plant a tree day. It's insane. At Earth Day, on farms, Earth Day is the harmonious relationship humans have with the earth, knowing that it gives them, with hard work, they can plant and grow something and eat it. The Earth Day that's getting pushed down everybody's throats so that everybody turns green on is pushing an anti-human agenda, anti-family agenda, They have remember these same people that created Earth Day say having babies is one of the worst things you can do for your carbon footprint. Not the way we look at it here on Fix the Family, Fix America. Having a child, spoke to a guy today. I don't want to go into details on this, but he has a son. That was afflicted with something. And he is spending a lot of time with his grandson and just amazed at how the son is a fighter through his affliction. And he is just stunned. And we spoke about how my daughter, of course, everyone, normal listener of this show, daughter was born premature. But we spoke about how that is the amazing part and how we lose that. And for anyone to have, you know, say that a baby takes away from the earth is wrong. A baby brightens this earth. The next baby born can be the next savior or human. The next big hero. We don't know. But if you sit here and say, don't have them, you'll never know. I just wanted to bring that up. That was just a great conversation I had. It gave me a lot of motivation to just want to help him in any way possible and watch his grandchild succeed. And I wish them all the best, and I will help them all I can. But that is the difference. It's not planting a tree or burning a plastic bag that makes you harmonious with the earth. It's morals and respect for all of it, and understanding that it's not artificial colors that makes food taste good. Because I can tell you this, the most beautiful red pepper in the world tastes really fine. Nice green spinach tastes fantastic. I can tell you that my homemade mayonnaise, we don't buy mayonnaise at this house anymore because nobody makes it correctly. Everyone adds an engineered oil. Everyone. But mayonnaise back in the day, in Roman time, mayonnaise was actually a condiment for the high upper echelon of society. Why it has become a bad thing is beyond. I gotta write an expose on this or something. Why is everything that made everything normal now bad? Oh, because if there's a crisis, there's some form of control. Anyway, so we make our own mayonnaise here at my house. Make our own mayonnaise. And that, we make our own pizza crust from scratch. What? Make our own pie crust from scratch. What? Cakes and pies from scratch? Forgot what that tasted like. Well, that's why when everybody comes to this house, my house, they go, oh my God, this is fantastic. I made a bacon blue cheese potato salad this weekend that if I bottled it, it would be classified as a legal substance within 3 weeks. The government would shut it down. They'd be like, there's too many people buying this bacon blue cheese potato salad. We need to have a study. But that's what I'm talking about when I make fun of Earth Day. Make stuff from scratch. You'll find out how you don't waste stuff. You'll find out where you want to get the best stuff in the world, the best food in the world. You get it from farmers that are working hard. Get out there and till up some soil. excuse me, not me, I don't till soil. Have your child go on a farm and till up some soil, and they will become the best Earth Day person you could possibly imagine, and then you won't need an Earth Day. It's amazing how all of this started, because this article says holidays can be hell for families, because parents are having to do the job of teachers. I'm sorry, but if you have to send your child to school and you don't homeschool, not saying it's bad or good, then it's not. Then when the child comes home and you have to do some homework with it, it's not you doing the job of the teacher. The teacher at school is an extension of your job. She's called an assistant. The teacher in the school is the parent's assistant. Parents, it is your job to teach your children. Parents out loud, guess what? It's the parent's job to teach the children. The teachers, the schools, are the assistants. For you to say otherwise as a parental family pressure group, you're not doing the family justice. And that's why this show, Fix the Family, Fix the World, is one of the most important shows you could possibly be listening to. We're going to have an extension to this show starting soon. That's right, we're going to Fix the Family, Fix America, and then we're going to have Entrepreneur. I don't know the name of it yet. It's going to be on the Reveal Your Success part. It's going to be all things business. Business! What's affecting the business? So the offshoot of this program, soon to start, as we go across this country and do our seminars on positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success, and also helping entrepreneurs become faster, better, bigger, stronger. You know how you can become faster, better, bigger, stronger prior to us coming to your town? And that's to go to sandhill.sohooffice.com. They can do it all. They are the partner in the Reveal Your Success Entrepreneur trait. That's right. Sandhill.sohooffice.com is the partner of Fix the Family, Fix America. It is the official print partner. They do it all. And I can tell you this, that when you are ready to break out, you can do it at sandhill.sohooffice.com. Just for example, a guy came in, got a flyer made, black and white flyer for his brand new rug cleaning business. He got 200 flyers. Not 1 week later, he's back for 200 more flyers. Another week, he comes back and says, I need a logo. Now he's thinking about getting shirts made for his crew and big old vinyl stuff on his vans and trucks. All started from a single solitary visit to Soho Office. And I have to tell you that I worked with him and got him to where I helped. I didn't get him to where he is. His hard work got him to where he is. I assisted, and I love watching people succeed. It's very, very, very vital. Entrepreneurs, you've got to have help. A lot of people go, you know, you should sell your soup. And you go into the soup business and you crash because no one buys your soup. We can help you. Get you the websites, social media, everything. Sandhill.sohoffs.com. Now go there today, and you can be a better person tomorrow. Now, thank goodness, we can stop rambling about the stupid Parents Out Loud group. I got to look them up even further. Saying the job as a parent, doing the teacher, blah, terrible. Disgusting. Anyway, back to the classy section of this show. Adele Amani, you can get to her if you friend me and you want to get in touch with her. You friend her, Adele Amani. You can also go to adeleamani.com. She's one of the greatest people I know. And guess where she hails? She lives over in the UK. That's right. Ha-ha! She lives over in the UK, but we are Fix the Family, Fix America. Why would she want to be involved with Fix the Family, Fix America? Because she understands that Fix the Family, Fix America goes one step further. That's fix the world or fix any nation. If you can fix the family, you can fix the nation. And when nations are fixed, the world reaps the benefits, ladies and gentlemen. My good friend Adele Amani's Magic Minute. Here we go.
Welcome to Adele's Magic Minutes. I'm Adele Amani, the UK's expert in energetic communications. And through these minutes, I desire to bring answers to all the questions being asked about bringing wealth, success, love and happiness into your life. And hopefully bringing you an awareness that in order to start bringing this into your life, you have to create it, because this all comes from you. You are the only person who controls the experiences that come into your life. Let me give you one tip for today. When people tell you that you have to give up something to be happy or successful, don't listen. The only thing that you need to give up is giving your attention to that which is not a vibrational match to your energy. Now I'll explain this. But you will always know when things are not right because of the way you feel. If something in your experiences is causing you anxiety, stress, or discomfort, it's just not a match to who you are. By moving your thoughts away from uncomfortable feelings, from the experiences that are causing those uncomfortable feelings, and focusing on happiness, your desires, where you see yourself going, where and how you want to achieve things, then the universe will respond and it will pick up on that vibration and attract it to you, and it will move out of your vibration the lower vibration that has caused you the stress and anxiety. Now, let me explain this a bit further for you. When people are in your experience, and wherever it is you are going, or you're deciding to do something, or you're making changes, and they come along and they either criticize, or they insult, or they start picking at things that you're thinking of doing, allow yourself to step back and understand that they are coming from what I call a place of lack. They are actually in a low energy vibration. And this is because they have a low self-esteem, they have a lack of self-confidence, and this is keeping them disconnected from their own high energy. This puts their physical body frequency into a lower vibration, because everything that we do in our day-to-day experiences is through energetic communication. Every cell in our body is resonating a frequency. Every vessel, every organ in our body, this goes out into the external world, which is also resonating frequencies in nature, you hear it in music, you hear it through television, radio, waves, this right out to the universe, to the solar system. It's the same energy. And this is how the universe makes its communication, because it doesn't hear the vibration, it feels the vibration. So it picks up what you are resonating. And if you turn your attention to what people are saying and believe in them saying that you're not good enough to do this, or you shouldn't be trying to go for that job, or you shouldn't have ideas above your station, you will vibrate that resonance out and you will attract the same experiences back. So you will get more of making you believe that you're not good enough to do this. And you need to take your focus totally away when you hear people, and you'll know if this is wrong because of the way, as I said, the way you feel. It's instinctively, you will know if it feels good or bad, and if it doesn't feel good to you, you need to take your focus and attention off it. What you need to focus on is where you see yourself going, where you want to be, and that is the most important thing of all, is to live your desires and create the life you love.
See what I mean, ladies and gentlemen? See what I mean? Adele Omani gives you a encyclopedia of knowledge in just her magnificent minutes. Shows you the secrets there. Getting what you got, give out. Resonating a vibration that brings back the success back to you. There's a lot of resistance. We talk about that a lot on this show. And the more successful you get, the more resistance you will come up against. And it's that resistance that stops so many people from reaching the success point. They go, maybe I'm just not cut out to be successful. Maybe everybody's right. Maybe I shouldn't be looking for a new job, or maybe I'm not good enough to do this job, or maybe I can't make that sale. Well, maybe I'm sitting here telling you, I'm giving you permission to get as successful and big as you want to be. It's weird to have an audience. I am giving permission for you to be as big as you want to be today. And since the hour's up, we'll start the new one on Fix the Family.
Real talk. To fix the family, fix the Malcolm Radio Show.
Hey, folks. It's time for the show.
Malcolm.
Now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
It is Fix the Family, Fix America. I am your host, Jack Hatfield. So glad you are here on the second hour, power hour time of what we talk about. And what do we talk about here on Fix the Family, Fix America? Well, we know that to put the world right and to put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. But to put that family in order, we must first cultivate and succeed in our personal life And we do that with our exclusive 4+1 method, positive fathering. Make a difference from mothering. Pull through parenting and finally reveal your success. The plus one is disease and the diet. Stopping, preventing, and treating, and curing degenerative diseases that are affecting families across this fruited plain. You can find out more and be more involved with Fix the Family, Fix America at facebook.com/TheJackHatfield. Friend me up there, ladies and gentlemen. And also go to Fix the Family and like that. You can also like the Jack Hatfield page. That's very good of you to get all friended all the way around. And you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/JackHatfield, where you could have learned the question of the day. Should I have called the police? Should I have called the police? I wrote this on Facebook just today, and I tweeted it as well. All right. I saw a woman on a bridge today. She was screaming, tears in her eyes, angry. And I quote, here's what she said. "You monster of cruelty. I stayed with you too long." I should have had a girl record this. "You hurt the very foundations of my being." Because they would have screamed, you know, like, I've endured your tortures. That's wrong. "I've endured your tortures day after day. The first time we met, your ease and polish attracted me to you. And when you were mine, my friends were jealous. But now, take a look at what I've suffered for your sake. You keep me from advancing myself. My standing in society has been ruined by you. If we'd never met, I might have walked in peace, but now we must part forever." It was a long, mountainous region where they she then threw something in the water. Should I have called the police? No one got it right. No one said, well, someone did say no, but they said it for the wrong reason. Got one response. No, because this was her way of doing away with the old habit that used to bring her joy, but is now bringing misery and shame to her life. She was throwing away a habit. Not bad, not bad. No, ladies and gentlemen. I like that, though. Throwing away a habit. Monster cruelty, stay with you too long, like a bad habit. Hurt the foundation of my being, tortured day after day. First time we met, though, your ease and polish attracted me to you. And when you were mine, my friends were jealous. So, that doesn't really work. When you were mine, my friends were jealous. So, if I had a habit, well, I don't know. If you had a bad habit, your friends were jealous of the bad habit, because most people are jealous of bad habits because they're normally fun. I could see it somewhat, but no. She threw, obviously, this is she threw her husband in the water. I don't know what the problem is. Threw him right. No, I'm kidding. She did not throw something that big in the water. She actually threw two things in the water, ladies and gentlemen. The right one and the left one. Her nice, shiny, new pair. Ease of slipping on her feet. The polish, how pretty they were. That attracted me to you. When you were mine, my friends were jealous. Be like, oh, girl, those are nice. But now I've suffered. You keep me from advancing myself. It hurts when I walk. My standing in society has been ruined by you. You've hurt the very foundations of my being. She threw away two shoes. So I didn't call the police. I went over and, like a good Samaritan, I gave her my shoes. And she was like, these are roomy. And she walked off looking like a clown. And it was a weird, surreal moment. Because my shoes are red and very long. So, it was strange. Okay, we talk about stuff on this show. Like disease and the diet. And since we just did at the beginning of the first hour, we talked about the best and worst foods, which we then proved that they were wrong. Excuse me, not best and worst foods, best and worst Easter treats. Same article. Now, why is it called junk food? Does anybody know? Because it's pretty much crap. That's right. For decades, food scientists have been engineering delicious snacks that are as addictive as any drug, like my blue cheese bacon potato salad. He lists barbecue potato chips, cheese puffs, cheesy poofs, sugary cereal, and pretzels dusted with heavenly honey mustard powder are the product of intense scientific effort, been rivaled only by the Manhattan Project. It's a tremendous opening for what is just a list of junk foods. The same food science masterminds, he says, have been working against you, has now used their genius to create tasty, low-fat, low-calorie snacks. What? Okay, well, here we go. In the salty junk food arena, he says baked potato chips are awesome. What? It's a potato chip, still, that has all the carbs that the old potato chips had, but none of the fat to offset that blood sugar increase. Low-fat cheese poofs. What? Again, you grasping something here? Your best and worst Easter desserts are just sugar. Your best new junk foods are now just sugar because they're attacking the fat with gusto now, ladies and gentlemen. They are attacking the fat gusto. On his list again, low-cal, low-sodium, low-fat pretzels. Hate to tell you, but pretzels were already low-fat. Low-fat cookies. That's on his list. What? And then at the end, he says, don't eat too many. This guy just needed his name put on an article, I guess. Let's go into it. Dustin Driver, that's who wrote this. Dustin's low-fat options are an obscene choice. Because I can promise you that if I released you to the wild, you didn't have a cell phone, you didn't have an oven, kitchen, a refrigerator, your diet, you would not run around looking for the low-fat gazelle. You would not go, you know what, these berries are nice. I like these. I'm just going to eat these for the rest of my life. These blueberries. These are nice. Oh, look, raspberries, wild raspberries. These are nice, too. Eventually, those berries would turn on you, and your stomach would go, you guess what? I'm done with the berries. If you don't go get me a low-fat, low-cream, no-fat, no-sugar latte, I'm going to be upset. That's not what your stomach's going to say. It's going to say, kill that bear over there, and let's eat some food.
piece is talking about multiple sclerosis. No one is sure what causes multiple sclerosis, ladies and gentlemen. But there was a study out yesterday, that hints the combination of low sun exposure and the kissing disease, mono, to raise a person's risk for the condition. Now grasp this fact here. Okay? They're saying what I've been saying, that if you don't get enough sun and you are in contact mono, you could end up in those areas with low sun and high mono patients, they have higher rates of osteoporosis. Okay, the researchers speculate that low sun exposure, which leads to lower vitamin D levels in the body, alters the immune response to the virus that causes mono. What? Are you saying that the sun, the evil sun, could be causing all these problems because we're not getting in it anymore? Get this, ladies and gentlemen, another study right here. It says the sunshine vitamin is needed for healthy immune functioning. Research has found people with multiple sclerosis have less lifetime sun exposure than those without disease. It is now that vitamin, remember we talking about vitamin D may soon be not classified as a vitamin because it's so important. But anyway, the low vitamin D deficiency in vitamin D may lead to abnormal response to the Epstein-Barr virus. The differences in UV intensity shows the geographical differences how frequently MS can occur in the population. In fact, they found UV intensity and mononucleosis rates explain 72% of the variations of MS across the country. How many articles have you seen in the hat on your season? Careful in the sun during your Easter barbecue. Wear your hat. Run inside. Oh, put your potato salad up after only 22 minutes of being exposed to the outside world. You'll get salmonella. To find out mayonnaise is not the problem. Onions will suck up some bad stuff. Leave the onions out of your potato salad. Don't use store-bought mayonnaise. You'll be fine. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, more and more research this year to prove exactly what I've been saying for the last year and a half. The sun is your friend. Period. Banana Boat sunscreen number 904 is not your friend. I don't mean to pick on Banana Boat, actually. I was going to use it. It was that brand. Just because I like saying Banana Boat. But it's amazing how we all sit around and go, you know what, it's got to be bad. We've heard for many years, it's got to be bad. All of a sudden it's bad. Why is all of a sudden it's bad? Here you go. Less sun, more multiple sclerosis.
if that's not enough, or the government tells you don't go out in the sun this Easter, New York is up one. New York State Department of Health came out with their list. That's right, the list for all you parents, because y'all are too stupid to parent. They have labeled games that cause a significant risk of injury. On that list is wiffle ball, kickball, horseshoes, horseback riding, dodgeball. Wiffle ball, ladies and gentlemen. Wiffle ball. They're going to ban it. In fact, there was a loophole in the law that they passed in the Department of Health that allowed day camps to have tags, wiffle ball, kickball, inside. And so they are now trying to fix that loophole. That would require the increased oversight of those indoor day camps, because they need to offer you have to buy a license to offer those activities so that you can be regulated by state and local health officials. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They're sitting around telling you wiffle ball gives you a significant risk of injury for your child. Whatever, what happened? I don't know about you, but my parents looked at me when I got home from school and said, "Get your butt outside!" And there, out I would go. Be on a bike all the way to Dawson. Ride 300 miles away from the house and back. Or go walking in the woods with a gun. Never shooting anything. That's a couple squirrels every now and then. Come back at dark to eat. And then do your homework. Never get home. You just don't see that anymore. Now, that story broke this morning. And it appears that the Department of Health is now backing off of this list, because it's been highlighted across the country. That, don't you think this is a little too much? Trying to require a license of a day camp that they must have to have wiffle ball? The idea of wiffle ball was to put holes in the ball so it can never ever travel very fast. Tag! They have tag on this list. You parents, you don't know anything. You don't understand that your child could die playing tag. Oh, man. If you think it's bad that the government's telling you what to do so much, how about parents not teaching their kids? We have generations of problems growing up that's going to be a problem forever. And this problem, this was a father asked a gang to stop kicking a football to his van. Okay? He was sitting there, all right? His partner, and two daughters were in this van, and he had pulled over when a group of young boys started kicking a ball up against the door of his van. And it was scaring his children, so he got out of the van and said, stop doing that, because he had young kids and stuff. I would have simply said, don't hit stuff on my car. 12 to 15 of them started to walk towards the father. He got back in the van and was going to drive away. He started driving off, and a guy who had been hiding behind the wall jumped out and threw a brick through the window of the van, hitting his 4-year-old daughter in the face, giving her a broken nose, 2 broken front teeth, and dozens of cuts and bruises. Her mother says it's incredible to think anyone can live with themselves for doing such a thing to an innocent little girl. The father says he cannot believe that someone could do this to a child who throws a brick at an innocent little girl. The father then says, the coward who has done this to my little girl, you would think the next statement would be, is going to pay for his deed, but it's not. His statement is, has to hand themselves in to the police. I'm not advocating violence at all, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't say, oh, Jack said they'll just kill people. But if someone throws a brick into my van, someone throws a brick in my car, hits my daughter, the authorities will not have to look for him. There will not be a search party. I will not be on TV saying, I can't believe that this guy did this and he must hand himself in the police. That will not be on TV. No. They will be picking the lad out of the bumper of the car. I'll be like, he's right there, stuck in the grill of my engine, causing it to overheat. I shall now sue him for engine damage. You threw a brick into my daughter's face? Because I told you to stop throwing a football at my car? No. Well, now you're going to know what your football feels like when it hit the car. Because you're going to be part of the car. And then I'll throw a football at you, like, for an hour. And then I can see it now. I'll be on the media going, it wasn't hard for the cops to find him. He looks like this guy did, except for that he is not as flat and not as radiator looking. He's got like a lot of stripes on him. And if the boy happened to have run into a place the car didn't fit, then it would have been, I found him in this crevice in which I then lodged my hand like a ventriloquist does to a dummy. I won't go into details. But I made him apologize at the side of the car to my daughter. He didn't actually say anything. I did it for him like a ventriloquist does for his dummy. And then I threw him to the ground and said, he's right there with a very large pain in the tail. The mom went on to say this, if I was the parent of the coward responsible for throwing a brick, I would be completely ashamed. And the first thing I would do to be to drag them down to the police station. ladies and gentlemen, if that child's throwing a Bic through a rock because the guy said, don't hit my van with a football, do you think mommy and daddy at home is going to be really ashamed? I mean, really. We'll keep an eye on it. The male, between 16 and 19 years old, 5'6", stocky build with dark hair. There you go. That's going to be easy to find. My description of him was a lot better. Stuck in the grill, right there. Anyway, there's a picture of this little girl with the nose broken, two front teeth. Horrendous. She's a lot better now. A lot better now. The scrapes are still there. Going to be gorgeous. Hope this doesn't cause her any problems. Very nice. Very nice. Now, how long can you live? Well, this man lived to be 114. What's his secret life? Find out. Remembers hearing his grandfather talk about his Civil War days. Wow. Man's been here for 114 years. He just passed away in Montana, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. His rules for a long life are just like chapter 11 of my book, embrace change. Chapter 11 of my book, Natural Success Principles, is how can you ask for what is already around you all the time? I talk to entrepreneurs all the time, and I go, so how's business? Oh, terrible. This economy's bad. Remember, we talk about personal economy versus the rest of the economy all the time. But anyway, they go, I just want something to change. We're not really wishing for the proper item. Any change is going to happen because every day is a change. You're going to get new customers. You're going to get new people. You're going to have new opportunities. Every day is a change. Every day, every way, and every possible instance, everything changes. Change is. This man, 114 years old, said you must embrace that. That means stop talking about it. It's going to happen. You don't wish for it. You don't hope for it. It's happening. Be the catalyst for change, and you get to direct your own life. His other one was eat two meals a day. Ooh, caveman diet. What? What about breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And what about the dinner? And brunch? Those are two special meals that I give myself on happy days like Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, even Saturday and Sunday sometimes. I love how Taco Bell, fourth meal. I'm like, fourth meal? I'm done with that by noon. I like to eat, is basically what I'm saying. Work as long as you can. Help others. And don't fear death, because you're born to die. There you go. Life tips by a 114-year-old man. I agree with all of it, except for that two meals. But I do say the caveman diet, where the cavemen were out all day long killing a dinosaur, dragging it back to the thing and eating one. Or eating for like 4 days straight on that dinosaur, depending on, of course, how big the dinosaur was. Killing those little annoying little things, and I guess the meal wasn't that big. He might have actually just ate that on the way back and said, I didn't kill nothing. I don't know. Anyway, let's say you ate two meals a day. How many of you have heard the Mediterranean diet will help prevent everything that could possibly be wrong with American society or British society? I keep bringing up British and American society because they're getting very similar. And Adele and I are trying to help both, so we do what we do. Anyway, the Mediterranean diet, there's absolutely none of this all heart disease and stuff out there in the Mediterranean, right? Well, eating a Mediterranean diet could prevent or even reverse metabolic syndrome, a cluster of risk factors for heart disease and diabetes. Scientists believe that the Mediterranean-style diet has antioxidant and anti-inflammatory effects on the body. Anti-inflammatory effects? 35 new clinical trials found that faithfully eating the Mediterranean diet can improve traits such as belly fat, high blood pressure, low levels of good HDL, on cholesterol, elevated blood flat levels, because that's important, and high blood sugar. The report goes like this: for those who stuck with the Mediterranean diet, as compared to eating their regular foods or a low-fat diet, get this little tidbit they threw in there, eating the Mediterranean diet or a low-fat diet trims your waistline by a little less than a quarter of an inch on average. You also slash your blood pressure by 2.5